Victor would run the presentation on the NTSS, and I think after that it'll be useful for all of us, and as we have here other DDGs will then contribute in the discussion that we'd have with honourable members. But let me just in brief indicate that I know as members, and I know that you are keenly following every development with respect to our sector. You'd have seen that in the last few days, the MEC in KZN made some announcements. We're trying to do analysis of the situation. I actually just flew this morning, Chairperson. I took this flight that leaves Johannesburg at 6 o'clock, and I live in the northwest. I had to be up at 2 o'clock to catch the flight and so on. We haven't had a discussion with the minister. We'll be having a discussion with the minister later on to basically give him our views. We've done just brief analysis, and I would really plead for the indulgence of members of the committee that I don't jump the gun and start discussing what we intend to raise with the minister, because he has to make final conclusion on that. So we'll have a discussion with the minister with respect to that. The other issue that since our last meeting, I know Honourable Minister has had a discussion with Honourable Force around his discussion, or giving a brief on his discussion with the Minister of Home Affairs with respect to the question of the immigration that Honourable Members have been inundated with it. I think we're reaching some solution, as the Minister indicated to you. There's been a very fruitful discussion with Home Affairs. The sector is quite comfortable with the outcome of that meeting, so we're still awaiting some of the actions that Home Affairs is going to take. We've given Home Affairs all necessary information with respect how to expand, particularly in China and India, how to have those VFS offices to be able to cater for that. So I think those are the two issues, Chair, that I thought maybe I should bring them for the attention of honourable members really up front. But if you agree, then I'll request Victor to provide a briefing. But fundamental to that briefing is that this year is the year that we need to do a review of the NTSS. The review of the NTSS is basically to look at the implementation, what are the challenges thus far, and how to strengthen that, because the NTSS is a much longer term program. So we want to take stock of how far we are. So Victor will run the presentation, and after the chairperson, we can then engage with members if you agree. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Please,
thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. The presentation will cover broadly the vision, the mission of the NTSS, the commitments that have been made in terms of indicators and some targets there, as well as some level of progress that has been made, given that this is a 2011 document, and the way forward, which will relate also to what Dish was talking about with regards to the review. The document was developed through a very consultative process, which so the initial process of cabinet approval to go for public comment. When we came back from that process, we came back with 37,000 comments, which we worked into the document, and ultimately then Cabinet approved the document on the 3rd of March 2011. The vision is to be a top 20 tourism destination in the world by 2020. Now, the understanding here is that if we look at this vision, we should not look at it as a target. We don't necessarily want to be 1, 2, 3 up to number 20. But we are saying we should be playing in whatever field we've selected at that top 20. An example would be if we want to be a top beach destination, we should be able to be on the minds of consumers as one of those top 20 that one would say, these are the beaches that I would like to go to. Similarly, if we're talking about our heritage sites, if we're talking about our leisure and so on. So it's not about how many tourists we get into the country. if you were to look at other countries, I will not mention names of countries because this becomes public documents, we're not marketing them. If you look at some of these small islands that have got very sharp focus on beach destination, they don't even want to have more than 300,000 people coming in, but they still play at that top 20 level, so people would want to go there. The mission thereof is we want to grow a sustainable tourism economy in the country with a domestic, a regional, and an international component. So it has to be balanced. And we are saying it should be based on innovation, service excellence, and meaningful participation as well as strong partnerships. There are some values that guide us in terms of that, but fundamentally it's upholding the values of the Constitution of the Republic. The broader objectives, we have clustered these objectives into themes. We have a theme that talks about tourism and the broader economy. We have a theme that talks to visitor experience and the brand. We have got a theme that talks about sustainability and good governance in tourism. And I will talk to some of these objectives and the indicators at a later stage in terms of the details of what needs to be done within this. If we look at theme one, in terms of some of the objectives there, we're talking about growing the tourism sector's absolute contribution to the economy. And what we need to take note of here is that in some instances you will have the other sectors of the economy doing better. So it's not a question of us comparing ourselves to others necessarily. If ours is continuously growing in terms of the actual contribution that we've been making, that would actually be a measure of us actually having succeeded in what we're doing. Under that, we have got contribution to the GDP, employment, investment, and of course this is like driven by the visitor arrivals. We have got the objective on the provision of excellent people development, and here we're talking about compliance with the decent work framework. In the hospitality sector, we have got a sectoral dispensation, which is quite specific in terms of what should actually happen there. And this is work that the Department of Labor, in terms of their inspectorate, they look at those kind of things in terms of the levels of compliance and so on. There is a sharp focus on domestic tourism. I will speak a little bit more in detail about that at a later stage. And also there is a sharp focus on regional tourism. This is largely informed by the fact that tourists do not necessarily know the boundaries within our own sub-region. So that has to be taken into account in terms of growing this. Visitor experience, here we talk about issues of skills, we talk about the levels of satisfaction in terms of the experiences that people actually have, but we also talk about the presence of our brand and how well is it entrenched and whether we are actually converting the presence of that brand and awareness and so on into actual tourists that actually come into the country. Sustainability, there are pillars here such as local government support. There are pillars amongst others such as responsible tourism. And so this is an area also which focuses on the whole aspect of transformation as well. So what exactly do we want to achieve? In terms of contribution to the GDP, if you take direct and indirect, we would like to get to just under half a trillion by 2020 as the contribution of tourism. If you look at the arrivals, this is supposed to be visitor arrivals, not tourist arrivals. At the time when we're doing this, we did not have sufficient data to be able to determine the tourist arrivals at that time. And we are looking at 15 million by 2020. Obviously, that would definitely change because we are sitting now at over 14. In terms of jobs, overall, we want 225,000 jobs by 2020. And the contribution of the domestic, which we will talk to, and also the transformation aspect, which we'll also talk to. Specific interventions that we have in terms of pursuing the objectives of the strategy. On the demand side, we would like to have a very sharp focus on the marketing aspect and the brand management aspect. Also, the Conventions Bureau as a specific intervention that deals with the whole business events, domestic tourism as a specific intervention, regional tourism, and emerging markets, and break part of that, and it would also expand to other markets as they emerge. On the supply side is product development. We also would like to look at niche tourism products, strengthening the quality assurance aspect, skills and capacity building, as well as service excellence, access the overall aspect of how to get into South Africa, the ease of access and so on, investment promotion, information, that is all on the supply side. And other interventions that are quite specific is transformation, community participation, general tourism awareness, safety, and local government capacity building. This is the structural arrangements that we're set to implement. We have an NTSS delivery forum, which basically we call it the National Tourism Stakeholder Forum. It is chaired by the Director General, and it is supported by different sub-fora, so call them clusters, so to say. We have one for communicators, because there's a need for the message around implementation and how to actually unblock things and so on. We have got a knowledge one that specifically focuses on the knowledge support function for the implementation, NGOs and CDOs, and in this area it becomes quite difficult, because sometimes you've got to get all these inputs from the different formations, but the level of organization within the CDO environment for tourism is still a little bit low, if I was to put it in that kind of context. And then government fora, which basically we use the intergovernmental structures to be able to clear policy-related issues that are pertinent to this. And on the other side, the Tourism Business Council of South Africa has its own business forum. They convene their own forum. They have discussions, but those would then feed into the NTSF. Overview of the performance. We've got, in terms of contribution to the GDP, we are using 2012 figures because that's where we have got figures for across the different indicators, so that we don't give you these figures for this and those figures for that. In terms of the GDP contribution, we were at 93.3 billion, and that was 3% of GDP overall. In terms of the jobs, we were at 600 and We were at 591,000, 617,287. That contribution is 4.6% to the total employment in the country. Of course, these figures by now have changed, and they have changed for the better if we look at some of the figures that are coming through from other sources. But the official figures for now, they are the ones that we have stated here. Direct and indirect employment, 1,378,600 by 2012. So there has been a lot of progress that has been made with regards to the two biggest indicators that we use to measure whether we are actually making any progress with regards to the implementation of the NTSF. Similarly, in terms of actually attracting tourists to the country, we were talking about 9,188,368 in 2012. But like I said, The measure was actually visitors, and we have actually already gone to 14 million. So there is clear progress that is made. There is also clear progress with regards to the share that we are actually getting from the new markets. China was nowhere in the top 10 when we were putting together these things, and China now is actually in the top 5. So that's the kind of progress that has actually been made. In terms of domestic tourism, we have had challenges. And this is an area that all hands are on deck. We would like to turn this around. The value that we can generate from domestic, we will demonstrate later, is quite high. But there's more work that we still need to do with regards to domestic. There has been a decline in terms of the trips that we've seen over the period, and that is of concern. The actual value, it is important to realize that the ultimate objective is for us to be able to bring value to the South African economy. And if we look at the tourism trade balance over the period, it is clear that we are seeing some very positive signs. We had a trade balance of 26 billion in 2012. That really is a very good indicator. 11 billion in 2011. And we would like to see this actually sustained as we go forth, because that's the whole objective of us actually bringing tourists into this country. In terms of the performance against the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Scorecard, we have a mixed bag. Comparatively, when we look at the broader economy, one would say tourism was a little bit better in terms of the performance, but the performance was still low. If we look at the results for large enterprises, and we just look at ownership alone, only 23% of large enterprises complied with the requirement of actually being at 21% plus with regards to ownership. So you've got 77% that was not compliant in that regard. So that's how one would interpret that particular slide as you go through the different areas. Socioeconomic development, we did very well. We did very, very good. These are matters that we're going to factor as we deal with the review of the alignment, the review of the codes. Domestic tourism. Why are we saying we really need to focus on this? It maintains travel and tourism during difficult times globally. And that on its own assists us in terms of maintenance of the jobs. It stabilizes seasonality and all these cyclical flows that we really are able at least to keep people in the different establishments and so on. And it is a catalyst in terms of actually developing the products. We develop these products, or people consume these products, and when the visitors are coming here, they would also be able to use the same. And also creation of a tourism culture for South Africa. There are other countries that we have selected to demonstrate this message about domestic tourism. If we look at countries like China, almost 98% or so of their tourism is actually domestic pure. And if we look at how much they have generated in terms of domestic expenditure, we're talking about 1.93 trillion in RMBs, and at that time I think it was just close to a rand in terms of value, slightly higher but close to a rand in terms of value. These amounts now have actually gone to almost 3 trillion at this point in time. So there is a clear case that we've got to pursue this domestic tourism with much more focus than the current focus on it. Other countries, if you look at France as well, they have been generating equivalent then of 58.7 billion euros. Now this is the demonstration that we are making here is that what we have currently, I mean, we generate about 106 or so, 105 billion in rands. That on its own says there's just so much that can be done. This is with a decline. There's so much that can still be done. We can still actually be able to make to get a lot more value out of our domestic market. The case for Africa, why should we invest in the continent? The spending capacity of the emerging middle class in the continent, it's been demonstrated over a very long period that Angola, Nigeria, Kenya as well, they have consistently been some of the highest spenders in the country. These are people that come here, stay at your Michelangelo's, and so on and so forth, and they spend real good money. The other issue is our proximity and the fact that as people choose to travel shorter distances and so on, we are able to benefit from that, and that's why we've got to make a conscious decision to actually promote within such environments. Going forward, the NTSS does require that the Tourism Act 3 of 2014, it requires that we should develop the NTSS. Previously, we developed it out of need, not necessarily as a legal requirement. But now we are supposed to actually develop this as a legal requirement, go through a consultative process and so on. So that is actually going to be taken into account. We are going to go through this process of actually reviewing the NTSS. But as we do that, it will be informed amongst others by assessment of the progress we have made. We'll take the lessons into account. We'll also do a comprehensive review of the environment and also the future environment, this work that the process that went in the development of the NDP took into account what is likely to be the future environment as such. And the NDP is going to be, by and large, our broader guiding document in terms of the objectives. One can say that even the current NDP has a fair degree of alignment in terms of objective and focus with the NDP and the recommendations as per the papers. Thank you.
Can I add a few things, Chair? If Chair, you were to raise the question, what are the challenges of the NTSS? There are certainly many. I don't think the picture looks as perfect as we may all want to. One critical issue Victor alluded to is the transition from analysis of arrival to tourist arrival. Because in the past, we've been playing these numbers interchangeably, and it has created confusion in certain circles, even within the sector. And we took a decision that our core mandate is around tourists, not the general arrivals. General arrival, we have no contribution to that, so we should be measured against our own efforts. So that's why you would see that transition, and that transition is very difficult. The other issue that is a huge challenge and that the sector has been very concerned about, we are also very concerned about. Chair, on my way here, I was actually reading a very interesting article in the book I'm reading, and it basically deals with two concepts. And these are big theoretical concepts. One is a critical theory, and one is a problem-solving theory. Now, the critical theory requires that we all become very critical of the system that we operate. We don't accept the system continuously. So that allows us to basically move out of ourselves and do analysis of ourselves and see how the system can work better. With respect to the question, in 2010, there was a big issue that we tried to deal with, and we're still trying to deal with that with South African tourism too. The question that Zimbabwe tourists contributed something like 13 billion rand, I had a huge problem about it. There was a journalist who raised question about it, and we then put the system in motion to do analysis of that. And we did a bit of a brief check in terms of the business interaction between Zimbabwe and South Africa. We then realized that trade between Zimbabwe and South Africa is about 18 billion rand. So we raised a question that is a 13 billion rand over and above the 18 billion rand. And if the 13 billion, where are the Zimbabweans getting the money given the economic challenges that we know in Zimbabwe? So we need to do better analysis. We've tasked SAT really to do a better analysis of this. This is one of the challenges. Similarly, around the contributions that are coming from markets such as Lesotho, Mozambique, Swaziland, and Botswana. And really, I'm saying, understanding the economic challenges in these countries and looking at the figures that we are saying they are contributing, the question is that, are we having proper analysis of this? And that's one issue that we assist with to continuously ready to analysis so that we plan better, or else we're going to be cheating the system. We will not understand where the numbers are coming from. What are the efforts that we're putting in bringing those numbers? So part of the review that we're going to do with respect to the NTSS, we're going to look at those figures. Victor has alluded to the decline with respect to the domestic tourism trips. It's a concern that as South Africans, we're doing less trips, even though it's showing that we're spending more. I think the latest figure, we're spending 105 billion rand, and the one before this one, we were spending about 93 billion rand. But what is the decline? And if you look at the numbers of trips that we're undertaking, they've moved, I think, in 2010, and I'm saying this under correction, we were standing at something like 26 million trips. But they've declined now to close to 16 or 18 million trips that we undertake. And that's why, to address that situation, we are saying we need to invest more in our domestic tourism. And that investment, because we've developed a strategy that supports the NTSS, that investment now should move to marketing our destination as provinces. Get competition for people to say, why, for instance, should I visit KZN during winter time when it's so cold in Joburg? And people can start to run adverts that say, visit KZN during this time and during winter and enjoy summer. So that we encourage intra-provincial marketing around these issues, hoping to stimulate the market. But that has to be combined with inviting the private sector to market their products within that spend work on of marketing domestic. So these are issues that we really need to tackle with, are very problematic. And Victor has also alluded to the figures that we're seeing. I mean, when we devised the NTSS, when it was adopted in 2011, and these figures were worked on the basis of, I think, to 2009, we were looking at 15 million tourists, but now we're standing at 14 million. The question then arises, are we not sandbagging? Are we not targeting small figures hoping that we'd overachieve? Don't we have the scope to achieve more? Because we have people who are waiting outside there looking for jobs and having really confidence in us creating those jobs, and yet we're working on lower figures. Can't we stretch ourselves? So these are some of the issues that we're dealing with as we move forward, and we're going to do the review. The last thing, Chair, that I wanted to say is that, you know, as a department, for the very first time since our independent existence, we've received clean audit. If you ask me, Are we happy? Maybe my colleagues will say they are happy. I'm not, quite honestly. We've been consistently receiving unqualified audit with minor issues. But to move to a clean audit, I'm not, because I think systemically we haven't set up better institutional capacity. Because the challenge of getting a clean audit, it can't be a once-off event. It has to be a consistent event. So it requires addressing flaws in the system. I had hoped with our management team, and we set up ourselves a target, that we would clean up and work out predictable system and strengthen our capacity. And during the course of this financial year, 2014-2015, we would then do a review of how strong our system so that we can sustain that. But it came earlier than we thought. I have certain areas in our system that I think we still needed to work very harder to improve that. And the challenge then that it raises, because it puts pressure, but it also creates some level of complacency for management, subconsciously, to say, we've made a clean audit, it means we can sit and relax. Is it time to relax when we still understand that there are still systemic weaknesses that we are having that we need to strengthen? I forgot to mention it amongst the things, Chair, when you indicated that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Didi, we appreciate your honesty about whatever problems, issues, and the things that you need to look into seriously. And we've noted those things. We'll be following on you in due course. 2015, we'll be following on those aspects. Honorable members, Honorable Adams,
Honorable Ford, Honorable
Makubela, Honorable Ezi, all of you. All the hands that are starting
with Honorable Adam.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you to the two presenters. It was very enlightening. But I want to begin with this publication here. First, I want to congratulate you on your status of clean audit. This national tourism sector strategy that was given to us, I know it was developed in 2011. But to take this thing out, or to put in the new minister's statement, or something about the new minister, I think we should have done that. I know it's a document from 2011. Then, Chairperson, on the background, there is said that the primary tourism is a primary economic sector, but in the IPEP 2, there are reference to the development of the film and the television industries. Has there been any movement in the development since 2011? And then another question, Chairperson, it is said that the strategy will be reviewed annually. Is there a set date? Do you look at March or April or June? When do you specifically look at the update of the strategy? And also in the background, there is a mention of an economic activity in rural areas. And you want to strengthen the skills and human resources base. How are you doing that? How are you intensifying the fight against crime and corruption? That is page 1 and 2 in the background of this document. And then on page 46, domestic airlift plays a big role in enhancing domestic travel, I think. Is there any, gebrek aan Engels, maar is daar ontwikkeling om die, ek gaan dit nou vertel in Engels, is daar ontwikkeling in die domestic vervoer? Ons sê daar is airlines soos Kulula, wat tussen stede is. Maar kan dit nie ontwikkel word, dat het na elke hoofstad in die provinsie gaan, ek dink bijvoorbeeld aan my provinsie, Northern Cape, Kimberley. Can there be strategies to om het uit te brei ook naar die andere provincies toe? And then, because I think that is one of the successes of China, that they have international airlifting strategy, why the people travel more there. But you know, I would have loved you to give us stats on a country that has so many people as ours. We can be compared to China. They're millions, billions more than us. But if you could have taken a country that is has the same population as ours and with the same development level as ours, it would have been much, much better. Then the last one, if you can tell me on one on page 16. The overview performance, no, it's not that. You have increased your, tourism trade balance in 2011 to 2012 from 11.2 to 26.8. That's double that. What did you do to do that? And are you taking that factors in consideration to even grow more? You know, you have set now a benchmark. And when the new stats are available, we will question why did it go down and not up, not up. That is on page 15. Thank you, Chairperson. 12. 15. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to the Section 8 of the National Tourism Strategy, it refers to the institutional arrangements, and we know that there are provincial coordination forums in place in KZN and in the Western Cape, but we all know that tourism is at heart a local issue, and when, as per the strategy, a lot of the efforts to promote domestic tourism relies on the ability of municipalities to also perform much better. And the point was made at the very first portfolio committee meeting by the DG saying that the capacity within municipalities are of concern. And that basically comes down to precisely the issue that we would like to raise this morning. And that is that there needs to be greater emphasis on assisting those struggling municipalities, because if you really want to promote domestic tourism, it comes down to assisting those regions that are not in a position to, for example, leverage their strategic assets within their regions, whether it's national parks or scenic routes or whatever the case may be, local festivals, arts and heritage tourism becomes then important, because that is most of the time the ability or within the ambit of those areas, but there are so much more to offer. But then it comes down to marketing, it comes down to putting the right people in those departments to be able to drive tourism infrastructure, development, product offering, etc. So we at National can develop a strategy. Some provinces would have the capacity to be an agent to fulfill some of the objectives in this strategy, but if you do not invest more in your local municipalities, you will not be able to get the benefits from increasing the domestic tourism offering in our country. So we really need to do more in terms of investing in our municipalities. So my question is, how far has the department gone in assisting those municipalities to establish their own tourism coordinating structures? The issue was raised by my colleague, Honourable Adams, with regards to the low-cost airlines. Now, we know that fuel is a big factor, and we know that some of these airlines, they do their own impact assessments, and they will look at the most profitable routes, etc. Now, during the last presentation by SAT, they made mention of engagements between SAT and low-cost airlines to develop additional routes. I specifically raised that issue, and the answer I received was not satisfactory. So again, I'm raising it this morning. What arrangements has this department made with local airlines to promote domestic airlift? We need an answer on that, because if you, we cannot expect people to drive from Western Cape to KZN. The distances are very long. Fuel costs have a big impact if you travel by car. And therefore, you need airlift in your own country. And if we look at countries such as China, they've got a big airlift within their own country to move people around from city to city and from province to province. So we really need to get to the bottom of this in terms of what is this department doing to engage those low-cost airlines. Then, Madam Chair, the... looking at my notes, the DG mentioned in his opening remarks the tourism levy. Now, at the last meeting with SAT, I raised this issue. We need to have a full briefing on TOMSA's strategy and exactly what it entails. You know, the hospitality levy of 10% in KZN is not doing very well if you look at the industry commenting on it. So, you know, how will such proposals promote or destroy bidding capabilities of the country, given that the industry is already paying 1% to the TOMSA levy? So ultimately, Madam Chair, what we would need to do is we would need to, as a committee, have a thorough discussion on that TOMSA levy, because at the end of the day, there needs to be some other impact assessment conducted before any levy increases takes place in order to assess the effect they will have on jobs in the tourism industry. That's key. These funds should actually be also used to reward successful tourism entities, and they must also incentivize entrepreneurship, but they must also assist those struggling areas. That TOMSA levy should one, reward excellence, so where it's going well, reward excellence, but where there are areas that could benefit from that levy, that should be, those funds should be channeled to those areas. Now, I know that in terms of the Public Financial Act and various pieces of regulations, it's not, you may not ring fence funding.
Yes.
That's correct. But we need to find a way as a department to channel some of those levies to those areas that are struggling so that we can assist them to get their own development going, so that we have a, the playing field must be level. That is the point that I'm making. And I think the TOMSA levy can really play a role in this regard. So at a future meeting, we really need to unpack the TOMSA levy and how this will impact on the industry and what can this department do to make sure that it is channeled to the areas where it is needed much to assist those areas that are struggling. Then a very important point, Madam Chair, in terms of Section 5 of the Act, it says, the Tourism Act, that the Minister and the relevant organs of state must give effect to the National Tourism Sector Strategy when performing any function in terms of this Act. Now, a lot of the work that this department is doing relies on other departments to actually implement. So if you're going to develop a tourism offering in a specific area, there's not access or road infrastructure or whatever the case may be, you know, then it's not, it's an exercise that's not going to deliver the results. So what mechanisms exist to ensure that all organs of state follow this national tourism strategy when performing their tourism functions? So I'm asking the department, what correlation is there between this department and other departments to make sure that when decisions are taken by this department to develop tourism strategies in a specific region, that in fact the other departments of government are giving effect to those decisions? Because it comes to my last point, the Financial and Fiscal Commission warned already in 2012 that infrastructure investment in tourism has fallen over the 5 years, largely from a slowdown in the local economy, and that significant future investments are required to continue growing the sector. Now, the DG mentioned that we're going to review the National Tourism Strategy, Sector Strategy this year. So I just want to ask him exactly what will that review entail? Will we go out on public consultation? What does that review in fact entail? Because then obviously we need to adjust our indicators because the Grant Thornton study already indicates that there's going to be a loss in international tourists in the region of 270,000 if we continue with the, for example, the new visa regulations. And that's why we are advocating for the introduction of the electronic visa. I know that the department has made some good strides in convincing the Department of Home Affairs to put in more of these centres for the in-person biometric applications, but I really urge the Department of Tourism to consider also the introduction of electronic visa, because that will turn increase security and decrease turnaround or waiting time. So that's something really that the department should look at if we are serious about reaching the target set out in the National Development Plan together with the target set out in the National Tourism Sector Strategy. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Next in line.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. Chairperson, let me first thank the presentation and also the fact that the documents were with us earlier and there was no change in the presentation. Let me then come to my concerns and questions. I had a concern around the review of the NTSS, but that the DG has allayed those fears by highlighting that the strategy will be reviewed this year. I had a concern because when the strategy was launched in 2011, it was before the adoption of the NDP. Now that there is the NDP, I was worried about the gaps that may be there and also any challenges that may come up with, because the reviewer was suggested to be in 2015. But now that there's going to be a reviewer this year, I'm no longer having those fears. My other concern, Chair, is around the issue of coordination of structures, of tourism structures, because the Department of Tourism is one department that has got its huge amount of its budget to its entity. So we are the ones who are setting targets, but they are not the ones who are implementing. They depend on business and whatever, and they are setting targets. I'm talking about coordination of tourism activities across the spheres of government, because there are those activities that it's not their function to. Let me make an example. We are talking of promoting domestic tourism. I'm thinking of the low-cost airlines, which is a responsibility of public enterprise, and also the Department of Transport. I was wondering how the attitude and response of those departments is. If I can just get an answer if there are any relevant or structural for us to address those issues. My other worry, Chair, is around the silence of the strategy in the response to disasters, like the one that we are talking about, the health-related one of Ebola, which is now impacting negatively to our tourism arrivals because of us and the media, resulting in the cancellations and other related activities. Why is the strategy silent about their response to disasters, such as the Ebola that we're talking about now? My other worry, Chair, question is around the monitoring and evaluation. The monitoring and evaluation, because, Chair, for the department to be effective, for the strategy to be effective, it needs a monitoring and evaluation. And there isn't much in the strategy talking about the monitoring and evaluation of the strategy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've also made a few notes, starting with Home Affairs. First, thanks also for the presentation. The first speaker mentioned that meetings was held with Home Affairs. I'm also very concerned the visa regulations that's currently in process. We don't want people, criminals and things in our country, but it does had a big impact on tourism, visa regulations. Also, people have to travel very long distances. South Africa, I think I've said it before, is already a very long haul, and people have to travel very long distances for these visas. Municipalities. What do I want to say about municipalities? Municipalities must also have their own interests. A lot of the people in Europe look or want to see other cultures, and that makes South Africa a very favorite destination. People want to see the cultures here in this country. Also, Durban municipality generated 117 million rand just last year from presenting sport events in Durban. One thing to look at, domestic travel. I hear people speak about the domestic airlines and things. Airlines establish their own price based on a lot of factors. I don't think it will be up to tourism to get better prices on the airlines. That's based on a lot of factors. Also on domestic travel, if visiting friends and relatives is 72.3%, and holiday makers domestically is 6.7%, we can be very fortunate that we've generated 105.6 billion rand or 100,000 million rand, which is actually very good. I don't know, where's the other 21%? Where's the other 21%? What is that then? If 72.3% and 6.7% is for holiday. Security, it was also mentioned, I'm not going to elaborate on that. Somebody else mentioned security, I've also mentioned it before. It's very crucial in this country that if anybody gets murdered or raped or anything, that has a huge, huge impact. Joint meetings between, example, arts and culture, this oversight committee or portfolio committee, arts and culture and things, is also have an impact on tourism. Traveling levy, my colleague here also just mentioned Thompson levy. So then I'm covered. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mine is around the issues of transformation within the tourism sector. Now, it's one thing to have a strategy that would allow us to grow the economy the way we want it to grow, and growing the economy means we will create a platform for entrepreneurs, we will create a platform for entrance in the labor market, but if we do not have means and ways of channeling that growth to the right direction, it will not be meaningful to some of us or some of those that were previously disadvantaged or some of those that need to be empowered. Now, I want to know from the department, especially from you, DG, what are the tools that you have put in place to actually realize this transformation within this sector, because we have seen that it's widely dominated by those that had the means or those that are already established. And for those that need to seize the opportunities within the tourism industry,
they are a bit struggling, or they are on the left, the back foot, because we cannot penetrate and include new entrants or new players, new captains within the industry. How then do we have a map that will be channeling us towards that direction? My second question is around local government or local municipalities. You say here you are going to unlock local government, tourism, economic development. You know, it's such vague, and I don't know how to envisage to unlock this tourism development within a local government. Because our municipalities are struggling at times. They will have strategies, or they will have a plan to include tourism or promoting tourism within their budgets and their plans. But here comes a disaster, or something comes in, the very same money which they had budgeted. It's not that they choose, but they have no other option but to take those funds and use them elsewhere to better deliver services to communities. Now, this has been going on. It has been something that has been going on and on and on and on ever since it's happening like this. How do we then have plans to say in the future these tourism economic development within our local municipalities, we are going to make sure that they happen, we are going to make sure that we monitor, and we are going to make sure that we have value for money for the investment that we put to, and also the outcome that comes out of such initiatives. What's the plan, and how do we see ourselves actually getting there? Thank you.
No, thank you. I think I've got two questions the Department of Tourism, together with the provinces, agreed to a budget strike of tourism with national tourism. However, some provinces have not implemented this budget structure. What has the department done to follow up on the implementation of the budget structure agreed with the national tourism? One of the actions in the NTFS is to investigate ways of motivating and providing affordability services, products and packages to encourage low to medium income earners to take holidays. What has the department done to ensure affordability, tourism products and packages to promote domestic tourism?
Is anybody left out? Thank you very much, honorable members, and thanks for the presentation from the department. I just have got few very simple questions. I think around the issue of the levy, when everything has been exhausted, I'm sure DG, you'll come back and tell us of what the developments have been and what's been agreed upon. The NTSS, the department established NTSS before the Act. I think that was quite innovative. At the moment, I'm going to strengthen the present NTSS, because I don't think you're going to reinvent the wheel, rather strengthen. But if you reinvent, it's up to the department. Does tourism fall under the SIDF infrastructure development of the country? Is there anything that tourism is involved in? You've spoken about domestic tourism. Is there anything about rural tourism? If then there is rural tourism, what has been put in place in order to promote it? Because our country is quite predominantly rural. The municipalities have been spoken about quite a lot. Maybe as the mother department or father department, whichever, is there a possibility to assist or monitor the level of the skills in the municipality that will actually make a tourism fertile and quite effective? DG, you also mentioned, direct employment. Can you just tell us around direct employment, in what areas has direct employment happened? Thanks. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. We have quite a lot of questions, and I think my colleagues would come in on some of these questions. Let me start with the issue raised by Honourable Adams with respect to the NTSS and the new minister. No, Honourable Adams, you would not have the new minister on the existing NTSS, because NTSS is it's a document adopted at a particular time, and it has the foreword by the minister at that stage. The only time you're going to have the new minister is once we've gone through a review, then we'll have a reviewed NTSS to reflect this minister. If this minister goes, there's a new minister who comes in, it will still have this minister until you have a review, because it's an official document. Now, the domestic elite and the general elite problem that we have within the country, I think Victor would come in with respect to the elite. Now, the elite, honorable members, is essentially the responsibility of the Department of Transport and the public enterprises. You realize, for instance, sometimes ago, the provincial government in Mpumalanga, they decided to subsidize British Airways to fly, was it in Mpumalanga or Limpopo, Victor? It's in Mpumalanga, to fly there. And they were paying heavily for that. And later on, they came back to say, this is not sustainable. Now, the whole question of affordability of the domestic travel is an issue. To fly to Cape Town, you may get the same amount that you used to fly to Cape Town. You can fly to China via Emirates. You can fly to Dubai and Dubai Beijing with the same amount of money. So the domestic affordability is the issue. And that's why if you look at the profit making within SAT, they tell you actually they make money here at home more than abroad. So the home market is subsidizing abroad. And that's a challenge that really resides within those competent departments. But we try to engage them in terms of the viability of the domestic tourism. I tell you something that sometimes we overstep our mandate. At one stage, there was a huge problem at our airport, OR Tambo particularly. And the management, AXA management, decided that they were going to shut down OR Tambo because there was no jet fuel. We learned about it at the department, not internally. We got it from IATA. And when we got it from the IATA, we convened an urgent meeting with all stakeholders at the airport to understand what is the issue, because we were worried about the message that goes out that there's no jet fuel in South Africa. And OR Tambo has been shut down, and part of the proposal was that some of these airlines must refuel somewhere before they come here. And most of these airlines are long-haul, non-stop. And when we convened that meeting, actually, at our own initiative, we had the DG of Transport at that time. We had stakeholders from the Department of Energy and so on. We then discovered actually this thing was artificial. And then we then summoned all the CEOs of these petroleum companies in the country. And the problem was with respect to one company, because jet fuel is deposited commonly. And all these companies have contracts with different airlines. For instance, this particular one had 30% share. and they were not putting their jet fuel, and jet fuel was going out. I have my own theory about it, and when we had a meeting with CEOs, we confronted the CEO. Actually, I said to the CEO, it would be very criminal if they don't increase the capacity to what is required. It's sabotage. And within 2 days, the situation was resolved, and there was no shortage of jet fuel, no suspension, no statement. But airlines were already jittery about what is likely to happen. Now, there are a lot of issues that are going on behind closed doors with respect to airlines that we try to engage consistently. Some of them we get them, as by the way, later on. And this question of jet fuel, you may have read about it, even sometimes this year it came up. But it's really artificially induced, in my own view, because there was no shortage of jet fuel in the whole country because diesel was there. Now, there are issues that are going on with respect to the traveling industry. We're still working with the Department of Transport to fix the airlift strategy that has expired quite some time ago. It hasn't been fixed. We took initiative, did a lot of amendment, consulted with a lot of people to finalize that, but it's still with the Department of Transport. It hasn't been finalized. It hasn't gone to cabinet. Can I briefly, the question, it all depends how we're going to deal with the question of Tom Saleh. The question of Tom Saleh is a catch-22. If we overplay our role in Tom Saleh, because the Tom Saleh is a voluntary contribution, it's an arrangement that was entered into by two ministers, the Minister of Environmental Affairs and Tourism and the Minister of Finance, allowing us to raise that money. And that money goes specifically to marketing the brand of the country. It doesn't go to specific brand. It's a voluntary contribution. Those who don't want to contribute, they don't. It has been raising, I think last year they raised close to 130 million rand. But the danger of that, and I'm worried, the danger of that, if we start getting this August House debating that, SARS is going to take it away. Because there's no legal framework that provides that entities or different people can levy anywhere. SARS will take it away. And once SARS takes it, it goes into the fiscus. And all of us, we're going to queue for that money. And you know we won't get it. So that money goes to product development. And I've said to SAT, because sometimes, and the sector, they tend to think we must increase it. But once you increase it, it becomes a tax that is collected. SARS is going to take it. It's better to deal with a small amount that is negligible in terms of SARS views. I had an arrangement with OPA when he was at SARS, not to really rattle the feathers about this one. But I can tell you SARS has the legal framework to take that thing anytime and enforce it and make it compulsory on everyone. Do we really want to have compulsory taxation of the tourism sector? And that's the issue. And when the former minister had a discussion with the sector and raised this concern, they were at least taken back, because once it becomes a question of collection and going to the fiscus, we have no control over it. So the manner in which we manage is quite crucial. My fear is that if it becomes big, it's gone. So it depends how we're going to manage that. The question around crime and so on, you would know that we are not part of the security cluster, but it's what is called the joint committee within the security, and the Lieutenant General who runs it has written to us asking us to participate. I really found it very useful. When I was at DECO, I was part of the DECO representative at the joint, and I think part of the successes that we had at DECO was to deal with crime against diplomats, which was an issue. And we were able to channel specific business plan and look at, interrogate what are the police doing in terms of policing the diplomatic precinct. For quite some time, I ran patrols with the police to try to get an understanding. And quite honestly, we were able then to identify a problem at DECO and dealt with that together with SAPS. And the question of attacks on diplomats is a thing of the past, because each time one diplomat is attacked, the message is going around in this capital. Capitals, not only one country, because diplomats, they share information, amongst each other. So it was a bit of a challenge. So we were able to manage it. And I think using a similar approach, dealing with SAPs, we could deal with some of these issues. And we've decided that we'll be represented at the joint to basically deal with issues around how do we become sensitive to diplomats. Because policing is not only getting a bobby around the corner. It's basically being sensitive around issues related to tourists. How do you deal with tourists? How do we respond to any challenges that tourists are confronted? They will be caught in crime within the country, of course. But the issue is how do we respond to that? And those are issues that I think we need to deal with. There's been issues around, for instance, the effect of Ebola. Precisely. That's why we need a very strong domestic strategy. The Minister of Health yesterday in Cabinet announced that they want to prevent people to travel to the Republic from the Ebola-affected countries. It's going to have an impact on us. The perception now, somebody was telling me the Chinese are cancelling most of the visits coming to the country because, in their view, Africa is the same. And then it's going to have an impact on us. So those are unintended consequences of these issues. But if we have a very strong base domestically, would sustain our own tourism infrastructure, would keep the jobs that are there. So this is precisely what some of these issues that we really need to address. Can I, without really appearing that they are problems, interdepartmental coordination in government is a huge problem. And you're going to realize also yourself as members of parliament that inter-committee coordination is a big problem. So it's basically structural issues of how do we coordinate our work. We try our best at our level, and I find it in most cases at the level of bureaucrats in the system, we are sensitive to each other. We sit in this cluster meeting. We are able to deal with some of these issues. It's not a perfect solution. But the issue of coordination between all spheres of government, honorable members would recall that at one stage, provinces and local government were quite sensitive. You try to speak to them. Those members who are coming from local government, you try to speak to people at local government. They were quick to tell you that this is a question of their competence. You can't tell them as a national government. We approach it totally different, that we would invite provinces to our planning session at the national level so they understand what it is that we are doing, what it is that we intend to do. Gradually, we're making an inroad. When provinces do their strategic plan on tourism, they invite us. People who are still not inviting us at the local government, and we want to gradually penetrate that so that it takes away the thing that we go in there to wield a stick to tell them what to do, what not to do, but to share ideas and assist them to develop capacity. But one framework that is working very well is this local government conference that we have it every 2 years. It's coming up now. We've set up working committees to implement with respect to local government. We're going to do a review and identify jointly with the local government what are the challenges. But the challenges are still, by and large, very much political, chairperson. That at the political level, people who are working at local government are quite quick to take money from tourism. I tell you, the government in Mpumalanga, I think it's last year, the Department of Tourism had no money because every money was taken away and put in needy programs. I don't question the needy areas. I always say the difference between us bureaucrats and our political masters work on a 5-year plan. We work on a long-term plan. We build on the basis of the 5-year plan and we want to build an incremental thing. So people are quite quick to take money and deal with the issues that are arising now. So that's where there's a need for a decisive political decision. How do we fund what we think is a long-term investment? We're not going to yield results during our term in office, but the country would benefit in the long run, and I think that's what is expected. So that's where the challenge is, and I think that's an issue that I think, and I will be very pleased, that you would deal with some of these issues with respect to your constituencies. How do they budget for these issues that are related to tourism? We can then deal with issues of giving them better capacity to attract people, to deal with issues that are quite key in those respective areas. We're doing our best. We've done training, as I indicated earlier, with the University of Pretoria, Victor, because we have a working arrangement with about 5 universities. We've done training for bureaucrats and for politicians, and training along politicians to ensure that there's a political direction that is given. There are political imperatives that they need to address in terms of the long-term viability of the tourism sector in their areas. Let them realize that this is an investment that you may not reap the benefits now, but in the long run, it will benefit a lot of people. And how to finance and source that kind of an activity. We hope to see an impact. We're starting to see some local government responding. But at the bureaucrats level, even at provinces, you know, the heads of department from provinces, they always say to me, go and speak to our MECs to give us money. But I don't understand. If we are saying tourism, it's our hidden gem, why don't we put money in it to invest in that? So that's where the issue is, and I think that's an issue that you can better deal with it. Let me see if there's anything that I really need to deal with. Victor and everybody here that can come in. The IPEP 2, my understanding is that when the IPEP 2 was being finalized, there was a view that they needed to move tourism out of IPEP. And then the IPEP has been, it's part of the new growth, the new growth path and the national development plan. That's where they fit. So the agreement was to move tourism-related issues from IPEP. And part of that agreement was to say the incentive money would then come from the Department of Tourism so that we can handle with developmental issues along the spaces. I know there are a lot of questions. I think my colleagues can come in some of this some of these questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I want to respond to the issue on the seats. If the department to are part of it, we were able to coordinate the provinces to get involved into the issue of the PICC. And in our coordination, we're able to forward 16 projects to the PICC, and only 3 were taken to be forwarded further. But at the same time, currently as a department, we are also involved on SIP 16, which is a knowledge one, based on the SKA. It's still in the early stages to be able to come up with a visitor information center regarding that. SIP 4 is one of those SIPs which is more specific to tourism, but now based into the Northwest. And the issue of doing the road networks, it will be an opportunity for tourism to benefit. But within the very same province, we have a project that we feel it will also add more opportunities. That is the Manyani Lodge within Mafikeng. And the province as well submitted a request for us to assist them with the networking, with the road networks within the Bilansberg. So we are hoping this will be able to assist. On municipalities, we also have, in an informal basis, I'll say informal because it's more of capacity building, sharing of information. So we are trying to involve municipalities to be conscious of the business around them, which are dealing with tourism issues, so that they'll be able to interact with them to make sure that things are happening within their areas. But our focus is only on those municipalities which are within the 23 districts, now I think it's 27, yes, which are within the rural nodes, so that they can realize the potential within their space. Yes, I think it's this issue on the CIP, on the PICC, in terms of are we really capitalizing on the opportunities within the SIP. But besides that, most of the SIPs, like if we take SIP 1 along the Midupi, the amount of people who are congregating in that space for tourism is an opportunity in terms of accommodation, in terms of if they want to be on leisure, really going around to relax. The other opportunity opportunities along the SIP 3, the N2, the Wild Coast, in terms of the road construction that will also benefit us. But basically, for these things to happen, municipalities must be able to provide the bulk services. Because if we don't have those services, it's going to be very difficult for us to take on those opportunities.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I want to come back on the issue about direct employment. It relates to the tourism satellite account, which shows the contribution of tourism directly to the economy, GDP and employment. It's a satellite account to national account, so what we do is we take the parts of tourism out of the already established national account. So that's why we can say what is tourism's contribution to the GDP that's already done by Stats SA. It's a fairly technical process, but what the tourism satellite account does, it distinguishes between tourism characteristic products, which is purely a tourism kind of industries and products, and tourism connected products. Now, characteristic products, for example, will be accommodation, food and beverage, railway passenger, road passenger, whereas connected products will be more related to retail and trade and so on. In the TSA, you will then find the contribution of tourism to each of these industries. In the national account, as well as it's also broken up into race groups. So you will see that the direct contribution of the tourism industry in terms of employment for accommodation was this amount, and it was broken up, you know, black Africans, colored, and so on. So we get the data from the tourism satellite account that is compiled by Statistics South Africa. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
The other response that I want to put on the table is about rural tourism. As a department, we have a strategy on rural tourism, as well as the cultural heritage, which I believe in the coming weeks we'll be able to present before the portfolio committee. We are aligning ourselves again in terms of the district municipalities which are least resourced. But our SRI, our Social Responsibility Implementation Program, is biased towards the rural areas in terms of skills development, in terms of infrastructure development. And out of our 8 World Heritage Sites, 6 are within the rural areas. And we have Tourism Month, which is an awareness creation, which is a project that is also aligned to the list visited provinces, which mainly are within the rural areas. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, thank you. I think there's just very few questions that are still remaining. With regard to management of crisis in the country, pertinent to tourism, we have something that we refer to as the National Tourism Crisis Management Framework. But in the main, the critical issue there is what becomes our role. So we'll give you an example. When we experienced floods around Mpumalanga, Kruger area, the role with regards to this framework for us is to be able to work with industry to be very specific about where they are and exactly who are they having in that particular locality at that particular time. So they would be able to coordinate that kind of information. By the time when you've got to have people that actually deal with disaster management, they have a sense that that hotel at this point in time has got 100 people as opposed to another hotel that has got 2 people and what resource needs to be deployed. But it's a question of coordination, and we are mindful that there are certain things that would obviously be outside our scope, but in the main, we'll be able to provide that level of coordination, which makes it easier for the relevant authorities. The question of evaluation, reviews, annual and so on. The DG convenes this forum that we're talking about twice a year. And the forum deals with the environment within which we're actually implementing at that point in time, but also the progress that we have made and the challenges that we're experiencing in that particular process. We do have an MAE unit that looks at different strategies that we're implementing within this context, but also broadly at other strategies that are actually implemented within the sector. The next issue was with regards to affordability, which in the main is it's a function of many variables, but it's a matter that really lies within the domain of industry, because they are responsible for the pricing, they are responsible for the charges and so on and so forth. At most, what actually is happening at the moment is that through the short left, what South African Tourism does, it gets into this joint marketing agreements with a number of operators that have got specific products. And those are actually then bringing the particular products that they have got. But it's a function of many things, because government does not have any way of actually determining the prices. So ultimately, the price that gets charged obviously would take into account the other factors, the cost of doing business and so on. So all those things would also end up there. But it's a matter that we also feel it's a necessary issue to look into broadly, also in committees interactions with business as such in terms of the issues of affordability. But of course, due to the legal framework in the country, particularly around competition, it's a matter that we can't directly get involved. Transformation. Transformation. The question was, what are we doing? In the incentive scheme that we are going to be implementing, it is one of the main factors that we are looking into. The second issue is that we have to find, there is a plan that was designed by the Charter Council for the broad-based like economic empowerment course of good practice for tourism. And this plan, amongst other things, what they would like to actually do, because they drive it, part of what they want to do is to be able to take, to have some form of a database of suppliers. And these suppliers are across the value chain of tourism. So it's not only about buying a stake from an existing business, but it's about doing business with the existing businesses that are large enough. A lot of work has also been done with the Tourism Enterprise Partnership in terms of creation of linkages with small businesses and large businesses. If you go to places like Sun City today, you would find instances where, if it is full, they've got specific areas where they make direct referrals. But the question is the state of readiness of that particular supplier to be able to carry a business of a certain magnitude, but also to understand the obligations that come with the contracting and so on. Those are the main issues. We are encouraged, I must say, by what the new codes look like, the manner in which they are designed, particularly the DTI codes, the manner in which they are designed, they already allow for downstream beneficiation in the value chain, because you need to be buying from people that are empowered. That actually gives you points as well. So there will be a lot of doing business together if the particular business tend to actually do business with government. So there is a plan in place which we intend to be able to roll out. Of course, there will be baby steps, but as we do that, we should be able to see what kind of progress we are actually making. There was a question also with regards to, did you brought this to my attention just now? The question with regards to trade balance. What is it that we have done? There are two objectives that FAT works on. One is to grow the number of tourists. The second one is to grow their spend in the country. The money that we're talking about is the money that has been spent by people in the country. But now let's also look at this. When we don't have a stronger domestic component, it may mean that people are actually going elsewhere in Latin America. The more they do that, the less the money we retain. Secondly, if we don't have more and more localized airlift capacity, when a person flies here in a different airline or flies out in a different airline, that money is gone. But when a person flies out SA, for instance, that money is counted here at home. So there are those dynamics, and I think it's something we all have to work on in terms of how do we actually grow this as we continue. But in the main, for us, it's because of the number of tourists growth, but also the spend with regards to that. But of course, there will be instances where some variables that come into play will include the strength or weakness of the rand at a particular time, which would then either go the other way or the other way. But overall, we believe that the more we grow the number of tourists and the more we have things that people will spend on when they are here at home, and a much stronger domestic component which gives people some of the experiences that they might have actually gone elsewhere to get, that would actually continue to grow our balance of payments. Thank you, Chair.
Can I just add on that? You're going to hear a lot about a concept called cruise tourism. Now, cruise tourism, there's a company that runs cruise tourists around here. It's not a South African company. That company actually comes here to ship out jobs. They don't even pay taxes here. They are registered in a foreign country, but they take South Africans between here, Bazaruto, and some areas. So those are the things that are tipping. In 2009, we basically shipped out 300 million rand through that cruise tourism fee. This is the money that's not staying here. There's nothing wrong in any other country like we do to come and spend resources to market themselves in South Africa to ensure that South Africans travel to their country. But it must be at their cost. We can't promote our people to go and have tourism abroad. It's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to ensure that money spent here is to attract foreigners to come and spend the money here in the country. So you're going to find those issues that are tipping the scale always showing that how much we're shipping out and how much are we bringing in. But the efforts of shipping out money must be what other people are spending. We're spending close to 1 point something billion rand to market South Africa abroad. But we can't market other countries here to say to them, South Africans, go and visit this and so on. No, that shouldn't be our responsibility. That's not where we are. So you're going to hear about this concept. They sound very nice. I mean, the cruise tourism sounds very nice. But ask, what are they buying in South Africa? Are they paying taxes here? Where are they registered? None. So here in South Africa, we don't even have one single cruise liner. You see, if it was a South African registered cruise liner, it would mean they pay the tax here. But they're not paying taxes here. So we don't benefit. But there's nothing wrong in them doing business here. But it can't be something that we promote as a country because we have no value in it. Let them promote themselves. Let them spend their resources. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the enlightenment around cruise tourism, because we've heard about it,
yeah,
but we did not know the inner circles
of
cruise tourism.
Kind of like cruise.
Mm-hmm. Members, is there anyone with a burning question to ask from the department? Yes, Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the report that we got this morning, which is alchemist. I just wanted to check with the department about the references that are training officials from different municipalities. Up to this far, do we have any information of how many have been trained already? Is it all the provinces, or starting with certain provinces? If it's so, which ones are those? And also the issue of the, you know, having a standard salary for these people who are working in this industry, because most of them are really not paid well. They depend on tips and so on. What are we having in place to ensure that there is a structural type of salary paid to this?
The payment is going to be very difficult for us as a department because you find all these people are operating within the labor legal framework in the country. And it varies. You would find that there are a lot of people who are casual workers in some of these big institutions. And it comes back to a hotel employing more people when they don't have guests. The only hotel that does this thing that I learned recently is Sun City. Entry level at Sun City, because there was an agreement that dates back to the early 1990s, that they pay people, entry level there is 9,000 rand, which is well and above the competitors of Sun International around the country. And they were saying to me, Sun City, it's not making money. The CEO was telling me they are subsidizing Sun City. They spend 20 million a year to subsidize Sun City. And they are in a discussion now with labor to have to realign their payment with the industry. I'm saying this is by way of information that came to our attention because we had a direct interaction with Sun International with respect to the challenges they were having trying to assist them to solve the labor dispute they had there. And we then got exposed to this. But in general terms, the question of remuneration around the sector and broadly along similar lines that Anamis spoke about, the direct tourism sector, which basically measures what we're doing, is very difficult to determine the employment from our point of view. And the regulations with respect to that, it's looked at whether you are not having exploitation of people. It's something that is dealt with by the Department of Labor and looking around the whole concept of decent jobs. It's not something that we are determining at all. But with respect to the other question, Victor can come in on it.
Thanks, DJ. Thank you, Chairperson. The university that is assisting us with the training of both policymakers as well as officials at local government level is the University of Pretoria. Thus far, we have trained 53 policymakers and 52 officials. And we have trained these two categories across 61 municipalities in the country, and they came from all the provinces. We coordinate this with the various provinces. So the provinces somewhat are involved in the prioritization of which municipalities they would want to get on board first.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I can ask, isn't most of the tourists that visit South Africa repeat visitors that have been here before and then come again? Also then, isn't South Africa, well, South Africa is known for their wildlife, Big Five, soon to be the extinct rhino, but things like that, repeat visitors, word of mouth. So 1.2 billion rand to spend to market a sustainable brand, I think it's a hell of a lot of money. Wonder, we live in an electronic age, internet and things. Is there no more cheaper ways to advertise this country?
No, you're quite right. SAT actually would be the appropriate one to tell you. They have in their portfolio reporting, they indicate the repeat visitors that are coming to the country. I don't have the figures now. I don't know if it's more or what, but they do that. But with respect to advertisement, precisely, if you go, that's why Google makes more money, and yet you access Google free. Mm-hmm. To advertise on Google site, you must pay. The social media advertisement now is a big issue because everybody is on the social media. That's why Facebook has made so much money out of what, and you don't pay to subscribe on every Facebook account, but the advertisement, that's the one that makes money. And SAT, I know it plays in the space. It's one of the areas that you're reaching out more people. The television still plays a very crucial role and in terms of marketing. The radio also plays a crucial role because radio, for instance, in the U.S., it's very big business in the U.S. radio up to now. That's why you have all those WBSS, WB, whatever, in the whole of the U.S. These are huge radio networks. So they still reach out to more people. So the medium of reaching a particular segment is what SAT does. And without really claiming to know anything on marketing, SAT will be able to better explain that. Now, the question that 1.2 billion is a lot of money, it's actually nothing. If you look at people at the same level as us, like Australia, how much they spend in marketing. The United States now, they've decided they are setting up a tourism entity, and they are going to be flooding the market with hundreds of billions of dollars, and those are hundreds of billions of rands. So they're going to be pumping a lot of money. I mean, in Germany, we were told the Americans are running adverts. They're on everybody's face about marketing in the area to try to bring their product there. So money, and if you look at the amount that we're spending, actually, sometimes if you look at people at the same level, we become very much ashamed that we are not even playing in the space that we need to play into. But we've said, and I think this House has raised similar thing to say, tourism is underfunded. And the issue that the minister raised last time during his budget speech was that the challenge that we have now is to better utilize the resources we have. Once we have that, we can then come to the South and request for more money. But it's to streamline how best we get out of the money that we're spending. I think once we focus on that, and dating back to what I indicated earlier on, strengthening our institutional capacity to deliver, not to really sit and do a lot of analysis, but to do delivery. So that's going to be our challenge, I think, moving forward. So the money is not enough, actually. Thank you, Chairperson.
Indeed, it is not. But the minister has given his own side of the story. Honorable members, thank you very much. But thank you very much, DG, and your team, for the presentation. I'm sure it was very enlightening, and we have a better understanding of NTSS, and I hope we'll be engaging soon, because you are the only department we're dealing with an SAT. So we'll be engaging with you, and we'll be also calling business, but in due course. For now, we'll be dealing with you to enlighten us, because we're all new blogs in the car. We're all new guys in the blog, but we've hit it running. And Dizzy and the team, thank you very much. Maybe on your way out, because the committee still has some business, can you grab a cup of tea? Because you've been talking for quite some time. And thank you very much. Thank you. honorable members, can we start on the business of the committee? Maybe before we start on our minutes, can the secretary, you've distributed the draft program. Okay. I'm sure honorable members, you've all received the program for the next quarter. In which we removed the grading council, and we asked the department, and the grading council will be coming later. And I hope you all have received it, and I hope you all have read it, have your opinion and take on it, whether you would like to have it or you have whatever corrections you would like made. If we are affirmative that we would like to cut this program, then we'd adopt or...
I just maybe ask a question on this, Madam Chair.
Yes.
With regards to the briefing by the Grading Council, the program that I was given at a previous meeting which we adopted was that the Grading Council would come today and present their business plan to us. So it's quite difficult because, as you've seen, there are a number of apologies from members. So we prioritize according to this program. So I was rather disappointed that the Grading Council did not present today, although it was confirmed that they would according to the program which the committee adopted at the last sitting of this committee. Because for the next meeting, I would need to submit an apology, and according to this schedule, they are coming to the next meeting. So my ask is that we try to keep to the timetable or to the program as far as possible to give members an opportunity to arrange their logistical issues around what the program entails.
Thanks for the comment. Maybe the secretary can give us an explanation because they were just pressures. Just. But I'm sure he will give an explanation, and I would really like to apologize.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the Honorable Force, I think it is quite correct. As per the program that was adopted by the committee, the Grading Council was supposed to come today and the department come next week. But there was a request from the side of the department. We understand that there's a MINMEC meeting that they are having next week, and next week they will not be in a position to come and appear before the committee, because that MINMEC meeting of the minister and all the provincial MECs is supported by the entire staff of the department. So it was on those bases where we thought the way to play around with, let's have them and then thus they come today, and then the Grading Council still come to the committee, but they come to the following weekend. Otherwise, if we didn't do that, it would mean that let's cancel next week's meeting because a department senior official, they will not be able to attend this meeting of the committee of next week. So basically, that's the only amendment we've done. The Grading Council will push it further down to the 29th, and then we'll bring up the department to the 22nd. Otherwise, the rest of the program remains the same. Check.
Just to follow up, Madam Chair.
Honourable Force.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I fully support or endorse what Jerry is saying. I've got no problem with that. I do understand that the MINMEC meeting do require representation from the department. Am I understanding him correct when he says that when the Grading Council reports next week, Friday, that there will be no representation from the department, so it will only be the Grading Council? Because some of the issues that we would like to raise would go beyond the mandate of the Grading Council that would be here. They would simply present, which obviously is required, but the questions that I would like to raise would then impact on the department, because there are certain recommendations that we would like to put forward at that meeting. So I wonder whether it would be beneficial rather to have the grading council present whilst the department representatives are here all together. Otherwise it's going to be listening to them making recommendations and then they can't really answer on those recommendations. I'm just thinking ahead, otherwise we're going to, you know, not have a productive meeting perhaps.
Honourable Foster, I hope the meeting will be quite productive, but we can invite, we can chat with the department on the possibility of availability of one of the deputy directors. But if they are all going to the Minmay, then we just have to deal with the grading council, and we would call the, when we call the department, we will be looking into those issues that are outstanding from the meeting with the grading council, because we are going to call the department for quite a number of times. If that is acceptable to you.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe what we can do, because the grading council is attached to SAT, maybe we can request, if possible, that the grading council be accompanied by senior officials from SAT, but also request, because within NDT there is an official that is responsible for playing oversight over SAT. So if that official is here, so whatever members are raising that pertains to the department, so they'll be raised direct to that NDT official that plays oversight, so that we can then have a direct follow-up with the department on those issues. Thanks.
Then on that response, probably would invite the person that is overseeing the entity. Thank you. If he is not deployed somewhere else, because you never know what they have in their kit at the moment. Honorable Essie.
Madam Chair, without sounding selfish, I heard what colleague the Honourable Foss said about this now. Also next week I have party business with National Council meeting in Ulundi, and I wouldn't be able to be to attend this meeting, and this seems to be a very important meeting. So again, without sounding selfish, would it not be possible if we can move this to another Friday? I'm just asking.
I'm supportive. Even if it would come today.
Unfortunately, they've already been informed, because they have to be informed in advance. But I'm sure we can ask the contact advisor to get as much information as possible. And then when we invite SAT, we can follow up with whatever questions that we are outstanding. Thank you. So on that note, honourable members, is the program not being adopted, or is adopted with the tongue in the cheek, or not adopted at all? I have comments from honourable Makubela Mashel, from honourable Nathaniel.
Thanks, Chair. Well, mine is to call for the adoption of the program, but also take into account the two concerns from the honourable members, and say I would also would have loved the situation where the grading council comes with the accounting person from the department, so that the recommendations that will be put forward will have executive authority from a person that must be able to see their implementation, and so that we can monitor on what we have raised and see if any plan that will be put in place, we have somebody to hold accountable to. But I say let's adopt the program, and then let us look at the feasibility of getting somebody to come with the grading council from the department. And if that really cannot be, then we look at the next alternative.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I was going to second the move to adopt this program. Thank you.
Because they always they are part of SAT, I think we'll have to get some senior official from SAT so that they're able to answer responsibly to whatever queries and questions from the committee. I think that is as amicably as possible, because they fall under SAT, therefore SAT would even have to ask the CEO or the board member.
No, well, just perfectly fine. We will now make it. It's just we were very excited to hear from them today, because the program which we adopted last week indicated that they would be there today. But the program is in fact your prerogative, so whether we adopt it or not is actually not necessarily what you can decide, and it's your decide, so we've got no objection to that.
I thank you, because adoption has been, the Honorable Makubela Masele has proposed adoption and Honorable Masele is seconded. But I am sure you are more fortunate than Honorable AC, because you've got two other members and you'll get a very good report. And I think you'll also get a good report, as we've asked the content advisor to make a separate report so that you get a good report. Thank you.
Can you look into the minutes,
Honorable Members? We've got the minutes quite on time. I'm sure everybody has had an opportunity to go through the minutes. Without any further ado, let's go through the minutes. Page 1. Go. Going. Gone. Page 2. Go. Going. Gone. Page 3. Go. Going. Gone. Page 4. You don't have the minutes.
I'm not sure now. Mr. Erickson received his package, because packages were given to all members of the committee. I know it was deposited in his pigeonhole. I am aware of that. But I can provide an extra copy if she doesn't have
it. It might be that it would have been put in my... As the IFP, we had quite a rough week with Dr. Ambrosini's thing, so I'm not 100% sure, but I'll just empty my... Thank you.
I think those who have read the minutes, and with all due respect, Honorable SC, look through the minutes. If you've got any comments, you'll bring them. But the minutes are as reflected. And can I have anybody who's adopting and seconding? Oh, I thought you had read and through, because I was saying gone. Taking it for granted that we had read. I was saying page one, gone, because I was seeing no hand being raised or no comment being made.
Silent setback on a cost or benefit analysis. It's just the words are rearranged. It should be silent. It's fine. It's silent.
Silent.
What does it mean then? What does it mean? This is English.
Funky.
Let's put it in proper English. What does it mean? Petra? Baseline.
Silent is quiet.
It's a very quiet thing. How do you pronounce it then?
Salient.
Oh,
okay. Maybe to...
Oh, okay. This is
it's a very interesting debate. Salient means important. So if that is what is meant in that context, then that's what it's meant. But salient means important.
It means important.
That's why you need to do it, keep the word in the context, maybe.
Because then the other angle is saying it's quiet. Others are saying it's important. Please, let's go for an English word.
Because we have to look at the context of what we're talking about here. We're talking about a portfolio review of each country to see which country SAP was going to market to. So they were looking at the information that was already there in terms of cost-benefit analysis for those who say, they even said they were looking at population size, GDP, and so on, and so to say, okay, these people in this country can go there. So information was already, so they were looking at those main points in each country. So the sentence as it is, yeah, in context, is correct.
I'm talking about the baseline.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Send you on.
Yeah, you know,
okay.
But it's not up to me, but it didn't make sense to me, even if we use
Maybe do one to simplify. But that's it.
No, Chairperson, if the other members are understanding this, the context and the word, I'm fine with it. I'll just have to process it in my mind.
Thank you. Do we have a sec?
Madam Chair, I move for the adoption of these minutes as a true reflection of what transpired in the portfolio committee.
Honorable Mansell has long seconded.
Honorable Bema.
Honorable Chair, I just second.
Now, there are some documents that the liaison officer has circulated. I'm sure you've seen them on the program for the various activities in the month of September and beyond. Does every member have that, those documents?
I do.
Who doesn't have the document? Do you have the document on our phone?
Yes, I do.
Good. So everybody has got the document.
Yeah,
we were given out this morning. There's food for thought, and there's information.
So those aren't invitations?
No, that's just information. Yeah. Information. There are some times when we cannot be invited, but if it's within your reach, you can go. And next month is heritage, it's tourism month, stroke heritage month. So that's it. I thank you very much, honorable members, for your cooperation, for your active participation, and for your everything. And have a good weekend, a good afternoon, honorable
everyone.